How are we doing?
Good to hear you.
Good.
Did you think a lot about this week, about the press conference?
No, not so much this week. I think about Houston.
How satisfying was it for you? I mean, you expressed so much frustration at the end result in week one, but just to see not a perfect performance, but a really good defensive performance.
Guys played hard. They followed, you know, they did a nice job, and it was nice to get the win, and thought we played better. Like always, when you watch the film, just like on the week before, when you get back and you watch the film, and I told you there were 9 plays, the rest of it was really played pretty well. It's like this when you get back and you get a win and you hold team without a touchdown stuff, and you think, oh, this is going to be really pretty. And then there's always stuff you find in there that there's 9 plays in there that just they weren't big plays. So we played better, and we played much better. We still got a lot to work on. There's still some things that we need to get touched up, but it was gratifying to see us play better, and certainly to hold the score down, play better in the red area, those kind of things, better on third down, just kind of in general.
What challenges that Daniel faces as a rookie free safety, and what do you see from him so far at Bowling Star?
Well, the biggest challenge that he faces is learning the system, because this is not, you know, a vanilla system where we play 2 coverages and 2 fronts or something like that. We do a lot of pressures, a lot of different coverages, much more than most teams, and certainly a lot more than in college. So, to me, that's his biggest challenge. His physical attributes he has. That's why we drafted him. The guy can run, he can hit, and he is smart. He's a smart football player. It's just it takes a little while to try to get all the pieces together. It's okay if a team just goes out there on offense and just lines up in a vanilla formation that, you know, is in the playbook, but all of a sudden the guys start moving, shifting, changes, things like that. That's his biggest challenge, but he's getting better every day. And he's like everybody. The more you see it, the better you get at it. You know, even Darryl Smith, who is a veteran pro and plays, I think, very, very well for a veteran pro, still had to learn our system, and the more he sees things, the easier it is for him to play them. He's just got the experience of playing in a league for, you know, many years. But, you know, I've been very happy with what I've seen so far.
What have you said to your offensive players or even offensive coaches about going up and playing against Ed Reed?
I haven't said anything. I didn't mention his name. He plays for Houston now. He's a good friend, and he plays for another team.
As far as the guys you're facing this week, you look, I mean, they're so balanced. I mean, with what they can do, their ground attack, and then the weapons they have through the air, at tight end, all over the place. I mean, does it get a little overwhelming at all when you look and see that you don't see weakness so much?
No, this is a very, very balanced football team, and it starts with a running game. You got 2 good backs. You got a great scheme. And the thing about these guys is you got to remember, Kubiak has run this scheme forever. I mean, this is Denver back when Shanahan was there and Kubiak was there, and it hasn't changed, really, the running game part of it. It's not that. It's not that you don't know the 4 or 5 running plays they're going to run. It's defending them. Then the play actions that are off of that, and then, you know, they got talented wide receivers, you know, Owen Daniels, the tight end. I mean, you know, they're very, very talented football team. I think when you play a team like this, it's like almost probably every week, but maybe even more on a team like this that's so balanced and has so many weapons, you just got to pick your poison and say, okay, this is what we got to try to really defend and stop. If you try to do it all, you're just chasing. By the time you figure that out, they're running something else. So you just got to say, these are the plays we got to stop in a run game. This is the pass plays we got to stop. And the rest of it, we just, you know, we got to defend and do a good job of it and not give up big plays, tackle well, and just go back to fundamental football.
Grabbing more of your attention and just how they're kind of bouncing back and forth, he's getting more carries.
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard something once, and it kind of almost appears to be true that Tate was going to try to prove everybody he ought to be the starting tailback. He sure looks like he's trying to prove it. The guy. Here's the 2 thing about these backs. Even though they're a little bit different in style, the thing that really grabs your attention is when these guys make a cut, they can get to full speed faster than most backs. You know, there's a lot of guys that make jump cuts or do this, they'll do that. This offense, every year at Denver when Kubiak was back, I'm going way back, but same thing at Texas, I think you've almost always had 1,000-yard rusher. And sometimes it was guys you never heard of before, and all of a sudden they come out, and it's kind of like Shanahan last year with the Redskins. All of a sudden a back you never heard of has got 1,000 yards. It's kind of the system. Well, the thing about these 2 guys is once they make a cut, they can get to full speed in a hurry. And they're both very, very talented.
Jimmy Smith has faced a lot of scrutiny being a first-round pick over the last couple of years, but what have you seen from him recently? One, he starts in the base defense on this past Sunday, and just how he's been playing recently.
Well, the thing about Jimmy is he's just got to become consistent. I thought he had a really good camp. He's had moments in games where it wasn't so good, and then he's had moments in games where it really was good. And I think, again, he's a young guy learning how to play back there, and I think he's got to just keep growing into the position and just become more consistent. He's got the talent. He's got the tools. And when he does it right, he's as good as anybody. And when he does it wrong, you know, he's not. So he's just got to learn to be consistent. And I think that comes a lot of times with maturity. I mean, I've been around a long time and seen a lot of really good defensive backs and have coached in the secondary quite a few years. And I would guess that if you went back and watched Ty Law his first couple years in the league, or Asante Samuel, who I coached, you'd be surprised what they looked like after the first couple of years, but where they became. You know, so I don't get too caught up, and he'll get better and better, and he's got the physical talent to do it.
Can you speak to the depth of the defensive line? You lost Canty for effectively the entire second half last game, and how they played overall up front.
They played very well up front. We had a couple moments, a couple little runs in there that we were a little soft on. One of them wasn't probably a great call on my part. But I thought those guys played real well. I give a lot of credit to Coach Brooks. Clarence Brooks has done a really good job of rotating those guys and knowing that they're getting into a rotation. You know, players don't really like surprises. You know, and so, you know, all of a sudden you're in a game and all of a sudden you get taken out and you don't really know why you were taken out. Did I do something wrong? Whatever. You don't really like that, whether at any position. So we always ahead of time tell them we're going to rotate you, and like in the next series, you're going in and you're going to play, you're going to play, you're going to play, okay, and then in these packages. So it's not a surprise. They're not out on the field and all of a sudden getting taken out. And Clarence does a really good job on the sideline of doing the rotation and trying to keep everybody fresh. And so does Coach Monachino. Same thing with the outside backers. I mean, guys, if you looked at their play time, it was like one was 40 plays, one was 42, one was 45, one was 50. I mean, it wasn't like one was 60 and the other was 20. So guys know that ahead of time. They know, that it's good for us. It develops depth, keeps guys fresher. And the other thing it does is everybody that's sitting in that room now knows I have a role in this game. I'm not just a backup sitting here, and I might get in if that guy gets hurt or gets tired. I got a role in this game. So I think it's been hopefully it'll pay dividends for us down the road.
Bonds with you guys in the complimentary of it throughout the course of training camp and preseason. How have they done for the first few games?
Hedebell and who? Who'd you say? Oh, Josh. Doing really well. Josh is, the guy's an overachiever. I think he's done very, very well. Thing that Josh is, like I always say, he's very smart. Same thing with Hedebell. I think both of them are kind of the same kind of guy, but in different positions. They just play hard, study hard, and I love guys like that. It's fun to coach guys like that. You know, I don't know if they're the most gifted, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, those are the fun guys to coach because, you know, you trust them. When you put them out on the field, there's a big trust factor as a coach of putting a guy on the field, and those two guys I trust totally.
What did you see on the Ogbonnaya play where he's on the sideline as far as what the breakdown was and how easily that's correctable, just knowing it's a copycat lane?
Oh, the wheel route?
Right.
Oh, that was just a miscommunication. That should never. Well, you can always say that it never should have happened, but we've corrected that. We got to have that corrected. Houston will definitely. We'll see that one again.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks.
Yep.